Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello, welcome to the latest episode of Borders Blatherings. Thank you for listening. The podcast where Mary Craig and I have a good old natter and shine a light on the curious, shadowy, and often, I would say, very magical history of the Scottish borderlands. I'm delighted that today, Mary, are you well?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. And I see you have a lovely big mug of tea there, so you'll be happy. Today we've been joined by Tom Bonner, local folk singer, musician.
Yes, indeed.
Who did work with us quite recently when we recorded our podcast about the Eyemouth fishing disaster.
Yes.
Many listeners may remember his contribution. So welcome, Tom. Thanks for bringing your guitar, and I hope you'll be able to play a song that will carry the conversation along. Because a lot of it's in broad Scots, and so we want to be fair as we talk. Mary, just to lead you in, as I often do, take you through a maze of my mad mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my 70s now, as you know. And when I was a wee boy, I was brought under the regime, I would say, of children should be seen, and definitely not heard.
Quite right, too.
There was one notable exception. And that was when family and friends gathered in the house, and I was forced to get up and entertain them.
Ah, okay.
And I would sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
And the song I used to sing as a 10, 11, 12-year-old was a song called Running Bear. Have you come across that?
Running Bear, Little White Dove.
Little White Dove, indeed. Yeah. And I'm not going to sing that today, but I think being adopted, it was a song whose lyrics rang true to me, this not being able to have what you desired and what you loved.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who knows the song, I'll keep it brief, I won't sing, knows that Running Bear and Little White Dove, who are totally in love, are divided because the tribes are at war.
Indeed, yes.
And there's a raging river runs between the land of the two tribes. Now, I'm sure the lyrics of this song would raise a few eyebrows today, so I'm not going to go down that particular road.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the bravery and or stupidity of Running Bear, who eventually, because of his love for Little White Dove, dives into the river and attempts to swim over to where she is. She does likewise. And at the end, if I remember the lyrics, as their hands and lips touch, they are taken by the river and they drown.
Yes.
And I think the song ends with, they will always be together in their happy hunting ground.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, I cast no opinion of that song and how it would be looked at today. But I believe there is a song whose origins are here in the very borders, in the Yarrow Valley.
Okay.
Which may be similar. It has a Romeo and Juliet kind of feel
right
to it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
We're talking the Dowie Dens of Yarrow.
You are indeed. And that's why I asked Tom to come along with guitar.
Indeed, yes, because you don't want to hear me singing either.
Or me.
Yes,
so, do you think we can have
really
a
really interesting song, and I think we can have a good old blether, and Tom can tell us all the musical aspects of it as well. So, yes, let's dive in. Let's dive into the Dowie Dens.
There was a lady in the north, I ne'er could find her marrow. She was courted by 9 gentlemen and a blue boy lad, Fiaro. sat drinking at the wine. Sat drinking wine in Yarrow. They made a vow among them all to fight for her on Yarrow. She's washed his face and she's kamed his hair, as oft she'd done afore, oh, and she's made him like a knight's effect, to effect for her on Yarrow. As he gave up yon high, high hills, down by the braes o Yarrow, it was there he saw nine hearted men come to fight with him on Yarrow. And three he slew, and three they flew, and three he wounded sadly, till a brother John came in beyond and in murder him misfoundly. Oh, feather dear, I've dreamed a dream, a dream o' doom and sorrow. I dreamed of a spoo and heather bells on the dowie dens, O Yarrow. O doctor dear, I've read your dream, I doubt it will bring sorrow, for your ain true love lies pale and wild on the dowie dens, O Yarrow. As she get doon yon high, high hill, doon by the hooms, O Yarrow, it was there she saw her ain true love lying pale and wan on Yarrow. And here it been three quarters lang, and the colour of it was yellow. She's wrapped it roon, his middle sea small, and she's bore him doon to Yarrow. Oh, feyther dear, you've seven sons, you may wed them all the morrow, but the fairest flower among them all was that blue boy lad, the Yarrow.
Is this a song, Tom, that you have played and sung many, many times in your career?
No, to be honest, but it's a song that I learned, or I heard first, from a singer from Lubbock, Texas. She was a friend of Buddy Holly's. Her name was Carolyn Hester.
Ah.
And she was in the Greenwich Village, New York scene in the early 60s.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that this is from her first album, that I first heard the song when I was 13, and I loved the song. And on the album played a young harmonica player. She had a young harmonica player called Bob Dylan.
Oh,
had never been in a recording studio in his life before, but he played harmonica, not on the Dowie Dens, I have to say. But he played harmonica on the album. And I saw Carolyn Hester in Melrose in the Wine Theatre about 20 years ago. She was magnificent. It was an audience of about 50.
Uh-huh.
Much later on, but I learned the song, or I first heard the song from Carolyn Hester. In 1963, I think she made the album in 61. She would make it in 61.
Wow. Talk about connections. There you go.
We need Tom here more often.
We
But
that's a Lubbock, Texas connection and the Melrose connection. There's also a Fife connection, as there would be, as you know, from
of course.
The film. Carolyn Hester was on at the Edinburgh Festival in 1962,
mm-hmm.
and John Watt from Dunfermline, who wrote the Eye Mouth Disaster, the
mm-hmm.
last song,
yeah.
John Watt asked her to come and play at Dunfermline Folk Club. She said, okay. He said, I'll be a fiver. Your fee's a fiver.
Wow.
So, all right. And it was just before the fourth road bridge was opened. And she said, okay. I need to go back on the last train to Edinburgh. John says, oh, well, we'll pay you £4.10. That's a true story. But she got this song from Jean Redpath, the other Fife connection,
wow,
who was from Leven in Fife.
Yeah.
Now, Jean moved to New York in the early 60s, and she was singing there in Greenwich Village. She was a ballad singer. And Carolyn Hester got the song from her. So there you are. So well, that song's been all around.
I've got a much more prosaic story about where I first heard this song. It was from the Corries in Glasgow, in the Glasgow Folk Club, way back when I, as a teenager, liked folk music and everybody else at school just used to sort of look at me strangely as if I was a strange beast and like things like that. So, yes, interesting song and so many different versions of it and lots to pick apart about the Dowie days. And I remember when I first heard songs, I wasn't quite sure what a Dowie was. I wasn't quite sure what a den was. And I didn't know where Yarrow was. So the song was a complete mystery to me when I first heard it. So, yeah.
The Scots Dictionary helps you out, though.
It does a lot, yes. So I soon learned, but at first I had absolutely no idea.
The Dowie is dismal.
Yeah,
Dowie,
dismal,
dark and dismal,
Or I think dens, with the song you could think maybe valley. Even melancholic, and the dens are wooded, dark wooded valley, and of course I now know where Yarrow is. And the Yarrow Valley is lovely, but it can be quite dark and foreboding, the Yarrow Valley. Yes, when you go down there.
Guy Dowie, yes, indeed Guy Dowie. Yeah.
But at the beginning of the song, there was a lady in the North Nine there could find her marrow. It's got nothing to do with vegetables or is it a marrow, a fruit or a vegetable, I'm not sure.
Exactly.
The marrow is like in Northumberland, they talk about their marrow.
Okay, right.
Which could be, as you said, could be their partner.
Their friend or their friend or work or something. That's interesting, yeah.
In the mines in Northumberland, they talked about their marrow as their close working partner.
Aye.
So a marrow is a suitor or a wedding partner. She,
right.
She couldn't find a marrow.
Because that's the thing with a lot of Borders ballads. Although, obviously, the Scottish Borders is in Scotland, we have to remember that cross-movement, cultural movement comes in, Northumberland and all these sorts of things. You know, music is, anything creative is not static. It doesn't stay in one place. It gets influences from all over the place. So a marrow being a friend or a suitor, that makes...
Yeah, talking about influences from all over the place, this song, I think I first heard this because I was a fan of Joni Mitchell, and I'm sure I heard Joni Mitchell sing.
Well, you know what she would get it from Carolyn Hester back to Jean Redpath.
There you go.
And I have no connection with the Scottish Borders, and so I similarly thought, Yarrow, is this the Yarrow Valley down in the Netherlands? And it is indeed. So it's a song with very local origins.
Yeah.
What's the name of the pub in the Yarrow Valley, Doug? Name the nearest pub?
Tibby Shields.
Is it Tibby Shields? No.
No.
What is it called? Well, come back to me. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you would know. Name the nearest pub, there's Doug. No.
No, I must have been absent that day. As someone who writes limericks, when I can, for a lyricist, this Yarrow would be a bit of a challenge in terms of rhyming, because the song is written in a kind of rhyming cadence. So it must have been a bit of a challenge to rhyme.
Well, you've got Yarrow sense. And then you've got Sorrow and I'll See You on the Morrow. And so I suppose there's a few.
Narrow.
But you're not making it easy for yourself with the word like Yarrow.
There was a wee sparrow who sat in a barra. We're over on the West Coast now.
And of course, you see the changes in the different versions of the song exactly, because the story in the song is about a battle. Nine men are fighting. Now, is it nine men and one man who manages to vanquish most of the nine men and then is stabbed in the back somehow? Is he the lover of the young lady? Is he the brother of the young lady? Are the men fighting over her? Are the men her brothers who are trying to fight off this youngster who might be somebody like a ploughman? Or in some versions, he's a knight. There's lots of variety in there. Does the young lady, is she consumed with grief at the end of the song? does she know about what's happening in a dream? Has she dreamt what's going to happen before it happens? Yeah. Or does she dream about it afterwards? So there's lots of things to pick apart in the actual lyrics of the song that are really interesting. And the use of the 9 and the 7 are really significant numbers, because in a lot of very, very old Scots and Northumberland pagan-type religions and old stories, yeah. 9 is a magical number.
Yeah.
And you get that across Northern Europe. You get the 9 mm-hmm. Valkyries and mm-hmm. things like that. And then when Christianity comes along, the number 9 changes to 7.
Seven. Yeah.
Strangely enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure why, but that 9 numbers, because you have the 9 maidens in
deadly
Scotland.
Deadly sins, and virtues, yeah. you name it. Maybe the ran becomes, out of sins.
You know, 7 deadly sins and all these sorts of things. So the change of the from 9 yeah. fighting... And then the 1, and then that changes to 7 at the end, possibly, or maybe. So I like the fact that it's not fixed. I like the fact that there are yeah. different versions yeah. of it. You know, so which version do you like, Tom? Which version is the version that speaks most to you?
Well, this song, the version that Carolyn Hester sings, is mm-hmm. almost word for word, is word for word, from the book that Norman Buchan, who was an MP, mm-hmm. remember Norman Buchan? Who published a book in 1962 called 101 Scottish Songs.
Oh, okay.
And I've got that book.
Oh, wow.
And it's the same. The lyrics are just the same as Carolyn mm-hmm. Hester. Mm-hmm. So I think that Gene Redpath, but he got the song from that book. Mm-hmm. I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a beautiful portrait of Gene Redpath in the Scottish Portrait Gallery in Edinburgh.
Is there? Oh, I didn't know that. I'll just go up and go and have a look at that.
Gene yeah. Redpath is another character.
Yeah.
You mentioned knights in some versions and mm-hmm. so on.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think that this song resonates best if we have a working class plowboy.
A plowboy, yeah.
In love with someone from a much higher standing.
Yes, absolutely.
And those of a higher standing wish to stop this.
Yes.
I'm not going to go into my personal background, but I pretty much know how that feels
mm-hmm.
in terms of my birth mother. And were it to be a knight and were it to be feuds over land, it would talk to me less. Is what
it would
I'm
be
saying.
A different song.
A
I
different
think.
Song, yeah, yeah.
If it's a song about thwarted love, that's much more poignant, I think, yeah. than you know, the usual folks fighting over things. I mean, there is, I know at one point it was thought that this was over land about mm-hmm. Scots, the Scott family and the arguments that the Scott family were having. And for a long time it was thought that that was what it was about. But those that have sort of really gone into the Scott family history say, no, it's not. The song is older than the alleged feud which took place right about the late 17th century.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I think the first proper written version of songs early sort of 1725-ish, but that's the first written version. But the song itself was older
mm-hmm.
by at least 100 years, so the song predates the Scots fighting each other over land.
Yeah.
So I think it's much more likely to be a love ballad rather than a battle yeah. song.
Yeah, because there's a verse where she washes his face and combs his hair. This is the Plumlin lad.
Yeah.
She's made him like a knight, Seabricht, to fight for her on Yarrow. So
yes.
she's obviously not wanting the 9 gentlemen. She wants the Plumlin.
She wants the Plumlin. Yeah. Or there is the version yeah. where, you know, it's allegedly her kinsfolk that want to get rid of this plowboy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're out to get her, and she's like, no, I want my plowboy. And the fact that she's washing his hair to make him look like a knight,
yeah.
she's trying to say,
yeah.
look, he is, and it's not that she's trying to say he's not of the class of being a plowboy, she's saying he is as pure as a knight, because knights are pure,
yeah. Yeah.
knights
yeah.
are noble,
yeah.
they are worthy of her love, and her family should accept him if he
yeah.
is of a knight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he's willing to prove to everyone
yes.
that he is
yes
an honourable
yeah
brave person
and the fact that he doesn't die. I mean, well, first of all, there's 9 people fighting 1, so it's an unfair fight.
Yeah.
But also the fact that he doesn't die with a fair blow. He's
no,
stabbed from
right.
behind.
It's treachery, Mary.
You know, and again, there's one version where they say that first night cramming a hint,
yeah,
and ran his body through. So you know, there may be another knight in there, but he was a false knight, because a knight would be chivalrous. A knight would fight fair, face to face.
Absolutely.
So if a knight's coming in and stabbing him from behind, you might be Sir whatever your name is, but you're not a true knight. You're not keeping to the chivalric codes of knights.
It's not cricket.
No, this is not what you do. And of course, it's coming from the history of troubadours and chivalric,
yeah,
knights that fought for their ladies. And often the knights didn't win the lady, and the lady did frequently die of grief.
Mm-hmm.
Or she would be pining away in a tower. She would say to her father, "You can marry off all my brothers if you want. I'm not marrying now because, you know, my beloved has died." So yeah, lots of resonances there, and it is the old Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
two lovers just don't meet. Because again, if she dies at the end, well, he's dead and she's dead, just as Romeo and Juliet, or Running Bear and Little White Dove, sadly, are no more. But I think it's interesting that it's in the Yarrow Valley. Because often with a lot of border ballads, they are borders, but they're not very site-specific.
That's specific,
and this is very site-specific.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is interesting that it's site-specific.
So the song is penned before the apparent family feud.
As far as I'm aware,
many
yes,
believe
it seems
may
to
have
yes,
contributed to,
yeah,
to yeah, this. Why the Yarrow Valley? Why specifically, Mary, is that interesting?
I think... well, I'm not sure. I mean, the Yarrow and the Ettrick Valleys are quite lonely little valleys.
Uh-huh.
And if you're going to go and have a fight with somebody, which you're not supposed to do, you want to be away from the authorities. So that's where you have a battle. And it is, the Yarrow Valley is quite dark and
yeah,
foreboding and sort of autumn evenings. So you've got that background of menace with nature sort of darkening in and the gloaming and...
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are dark deeds. Somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to die. So, you know, you're not going to have it somewhere lovely and cheery like the top of the Eildon Hills watching sunrise coming up. That's not where you do battles. You know, you're not going to have it in the middle of a bustling market square in Selkirk because there are people around. You want it somewhere dark. For dark deeds, you need a dark location. And I think that's why the Yarrow Valley was chosen.
Very consistent. That's where all the fairies and elves in the glens and the dens, yeah,
yes,
they tend to be in these kind of places that,
indeed, yes,
that are actually quite sinister and challenging,
yes,
and keep you on your toes.
Yeah, yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it,
Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the beauties of folk music for me is how things can change and how they travel. Tom has mentioned the number of people who've been involved in playing this song.
Yeah.
And I have a song ending, which I found particularly apt.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we have the young lady talking to her father and saying, you can marry off your seven sons and so on. But towards the end of the lyrics I have, mm-hmm. she also addresses her mother, or mither.
Right.
And I find it a most compelling ending. If I can speak it, and then maybe we ask Tom to sing it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which might be the right way around. After she's spoken to her father,
uh-huh.
and saying, stuff your posh boys.
Right.
She says, so mither, make my bed and make it soft and narrow. For my love died for me today, and I'll die for him tomorrow.
Oh.
That is very powerful.
Isn't that really powerful? And, you know, for one woman to another to say, you know, because you've been a mother, you've been married, you've had your sons, you've had your life.
Yeah.
And the life that I had intended has gone. You've taken that
You've
from
taken
me.
That from me. Yeah.
So, and she's saying to him, I'm going to kill myself tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
On my bed.
And that's, yeah. Mother, make my bed. Now, what's the other song that's an evocative line from? Mother, make my bed. Make for me a winding sheet. Wrap me up in a cloth of gold. Oh, what song is that? It's a Northumberland song. And it's about women saying to their mothers, I'm going to die. Or something has happened and this making my bed for me because it's not a marriage bed. It's a death bed.
She's been robbed of her marriage bed and she's asking
her mother to make her death bed for her. Yeah. That's really powerful stuff.
There's another song that I sing called Lord Lovell. And it's, a version from Texas Again.
I got from
the singer Alan Lomax, who was a song collector, mm-hmm. who collected it from an old woman in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord Lovell is the man who wants to die and be laid in the grave with his woman who has died.
Yeah. And that's the thing that because love is the emotion, the physicality of living in Yarrow or the physicality of having somebody, doesn't matter, that love remains,
yeah.
as it did for Running Bear, Little White Dove,
yeah.
as it does for Our Lady in Yarrow. So perhaps now I'll stop blathering and just listen to Tom's song.
Oh, mother, make my bed and make it soft and narrow, for my love died for me this day, and I'll die for him tomorrow.
That's a great verse. I'm going to add it. So in my version, we will have 11 verses.
Yeah.
And I'll also get the meter right, which I didn't get right.
You can take that with you, Tom.
I will.
Are we still recording?
We are still recording. Which is fine. It's not often that we have such a raggedy but perfectly human ending to our Borders blatherings. So it's okay.
In this very state-of-the-art recording studio, i.e. my kitchen with two plastic microphones. Tom, thank you very much for that. Not only for the music and the voice, but for adding this kind of patchwork of knowledge about the origins and the spread of this song.
Yes,
it's absolutely
yes.
fascinating that it's travelled so well and
yes,
so often.
And that, to me, is the enduring nature of a song.
Yeah.
Because you have some songs that will last for years and years and years. They will go to Texas, yeah. they will go to Fife, they'll go to Glasgow, they'll come from the borders, whatever. And that, to me, is when a song endures. And that's when a song has... It illuminates the human condition and it has eternal truths in it about the fact that love is an emotion that lasts even though your beloved might die. Uh-huh. And that's a song that's going to endure rather than a pop song that's here, there and gone tomorrow.
It's the absolute power of a good narrative.
And it's strange exactly that. As a singer, I can tell you there are obviously thousands and thousands of songs. But it's the ones that you choose to sing, you think, well, I sing that, and you try it, and it doesn't work. And then, you know, there are songs you want to sing, and other songs you would never touch, because you still like them, you know.
So you have that emotional connection to the song as a singer. Yeah.
And Mary, before we go, I believe we have one or two listeners in Texas.
We do have a few, yes.
So to all of the listeners in Texas, enjoy, and have a jolly good day. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that. As well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.